Robert, you've said it's critical to restore the Alamo now. Why? What kind of shape is the original negative of the Alamo in?
The original negative, which is 65 millimeter, is on a stock called 5248, and it's very faded. The yellow layer deteriorates on that reasonably rapidly, and I should make the point that, like all films from 1953 through 1960, they just fade. It has nothing to do with how it's kept or not kept, because MGM has terrific vaults. It's just something that is endemic to the stock. The mag stock that holds all the audio has vinegar syndrome. It's extremely delicate at this point and decomposing. MGM copied that. They did preservation work on it several years ago. They've been, you know, working very, very hard to keep these things going, but at a certain point, they're just gone. And what's occurred in the last 18 months, 2 years, is that we finally have the digital technology to allow us to do what needs to be done. So the materials have been sitting, they've been cold, they've been prepared, but we've had no way of doing anything. And the time is here, and we can finally do it. And there's basically no time to lose at this point.
Could you explain exactly what vinegar syndrome is for those who don't know?
Well, anyone who's had any, even a little bit of background in photography as a kid, if you've done black and white photography and made your own prints, there's something called stop bath, which is I think a 28% solution of acetic acid, which is reasonably acid. You can smell it, and what happens to acetate is that the stock deteriorates, turns to acetic acid, and if you open a can of film and you're not aware of what's going on and put your nose near that can, the acid can literally physically knock you back against a wall and your eyes will burn, and it's not a good thing, but it's basically the base of the actual film, the safety film, deteriorating. And it's something that just occurs, and it can go from one can of film to another. So the film actually has to be segregated at that point. And there's really no way around it. You can add sieves, which are little modules to the can, which will soak up some of the acid. But once it starts, there's no way to stop it. And the only thing that you can do is copy it.
Like many epic films of its era, The Alamo was cut following its premiere. What led to that, and how has that affected, if at all, the process by which you'll be restoring the film?
Well, it's a very interesting story that Michael Wayne told me about the actual cutting. It seems that in 1960, many people, especially outside of the major metropolitan areas, still didn't have cars, and they were using public transportation. And as a long film, it was getting out very late. And in many cities, in 70 millimeter, the film was actually getting out after the last bus had left town. So people were stranded, and they contacted United Artists. This is 50 years ago. And UA went to Bat Jack, the company that owned the film and that had made it, and said, can we please cut half an hour out of it? John Wayne at that time was in Africa, and he was working on Hatari. And it was left to Michael Wayne and the original editor to sit down, recut the film, take out a half an hour. And at that time, the laboratory told them that the original negative would not need to be recut because of the way the negative had been formatted. You can create different versions of the film in a process called auto-select. But what occurred is that the negative was physically recut. The black and white separation masters, which are three strips of black and white positive film that actually protect each of the individual dye layers of the original negative, were also recut, and after several years they were junked. And we only have the long version today because of a print that was found in an exchange up in Toronto about 1991 or 92, and that print is now fully magenta, it's fully faded, and it has vinegar syndrome and is deteriorating. So the roadshow version of the film can only be reconstructed using that single print, which is now excessively magenta, and the original negative, as I said, is faded. It has chemical problems on the emulsion. Basically, anything that can occur to a piece of 50-year-old film has occurred and is affecting the original elements of the Alamo. So at this point, we can't even really create a 70-millimeter print of the generic general release version. The original negative, as I said, has problems. The separation masters have other problems in that the centers of the frames were created slightly out of focus. And these are all individual problems that need to be dealt with. And fortunately, we now have the digital technology with which to solve the problems.
I think when most people think about film restoration, probably the first thing that comes to their mind is the image and the color, where you said this print is totally gone magenta. How do you go about basically restoring the way the film looked back in its original release?
Well, there are two elements to an image. One is resolution, which gives you the actual image and the clarity of the image. The other is the color. And in this case, we're actually using different dye layers, different parts of different elements, and recombining the faded 70-millimeter image frame by frame with color that we're able to extract from a video release, a video master that was created back in 1992. And even though that's an extremely low-resolution video master, we're able to up-res it and sharpen it and then take the color and physically drop that color back into the dupe that we've created of the 70-millimeter print. And it all comes together. It's nothing that I would put up on a 70-foot screen and project in a large theater. But for high-definition video, for Blu-ray, it's going to be perfect. And that's the way that we solve that problem.
One of the highlights of the film is the score by Dmitry Tiomkin and its Oscar-winning sound. Is that something that's going to have to be tweaked as well?
Not only tweaked, the original audio, MGM fortunately has and has preserved the 162-minute version, which is the general release version. They actually have the original final six-track studio copy, which was made back in 1960. And that has some problems. It has some wow and flutter, but we're using a process called Clarity that enables us to remove the wow and flutter and to really stabilize the audio image that we're harvesting from that mag. And again, it's a wonderful, wonderful digital tool that, if used correctly, can solve a myriad of problems.
And so your end result is going to wind up being two products in some respects. It's going to be the Roadshow version for the Blu-ray and DVD release, and then hopefully a digital and 70-millimeter print of the cut version or touring version of the Alamo for projection on large screens.
Right. That version would have the overture, on-track, intermission, exit music. So it would appear, it would have all the elements, the extra elements of the Roadshow that makes it a special event, less the extra footage. And that will be it will be preserved on a 65-millimeter negative, additionally preserved on what's called a 65-millimeter interpositive, and that footage will be good for hundreds of years. And, MGM has great vaults, as I said, and those elements will be put away. We'll make just a few prints, few 70-millimeter prints of the restored version, and then the negative will be locked away, and the interpositive will serve as a master, actually, for the creation of 35-millimeter reduction dupes from which 35 prints can be struck.
And this all goes back, and the fact that it's being restored now for, and as you mentioned, for years and years and years into the future, one of the original reasons is those years in the 50s to the very early part of the 60s, this particular film stock was what deteriorated badly, I guess.
Well, it's actually very interesting because the 5248 stock, when it first came out around 1953 in Rear Window, which we did, was on 5248, but it wasn't terribly faded. You could actually work with it, and we had to maneuver it a little bit, but because the emulsion, which is the actual the dye layers on the film, and the processing was changed between 1953 and 1960 to speed things up and do other help other mechanisms in the laboratories, things actually got worse rather than better. So if you look at a picture like Rear Window or The Robe, which has recently been restored by Fox, those are still in many ways usable. They'll do what we call answer back as a print. And when you get to 1958, Vertigo, 1959, Ben-Hur and North by Northwest, and 1960, The Alamo and all the other 1960 productions, that's the absolute worst of that film stock. And it's unfortunate, but it's a fact and everyone knows it.
Once restoration is complete, where is the film going to be seen beyond being released on home video market?
Our intent is to run it in Texas, and it would be most likely run as a special screening in Los Angeles, possibly New York, possibly Chicago, and then it's up to MGM, to see if they want to take it out and do anything with it. But for the moment, the intent is just to have a certain number of charity screenings.
Are you a history buff by nature?
Yes, history buff by nature, frustrated archaeologist by nature. And vault rat by nature.
And what is it about the Alamo that you admire? This film, the concept of the story, what have you? What grabs you about it?
Everything. I saw it when I was 14 years old. It was at the Rivoli in New York. I went into the city with a friend. And imagine sitting down, and it was an event performance. So it's a reserved seat. You know a month or two in advance that you're going. And you go in, and you have the overture, and it's played through draperies, which are closed, and then it's showmanship. A lot of it is showmanship. But to see a film like this on a huge screen at an impressionable age, an early teen, and you learn about the patriotism of Texas. I mean, it's the origins of Texas. And I've always been a history buff. I love Colonial Williamsburg, for example. And it all ties in. And I don't think that there is any other story in American history that is more patriotic than those people that gave their lives to stave off Santa Anna, and stave off Santa Anna's movements just for a few days while they hoped that help was coming. It's an incredible story. And it's never left me. And what I have to do now is get myself to San Antonio and go to the Alamo.
Oh, so you have not been to the San Antonio?
I have not been to the... No, I don't fly. So I need to take the train or drive or something, and I will do that next time I'm heading to L.A. probably.
Finally, Robert, what's some of your background? What did you grow up doing, and how did you find yourself? You mentioned seeing the Alamo at an early age, and how did you find yourself just entranced with movies to where you thought, I'm going to make my career in this?
Well, my dad imported cameras. He imported Zeiss cameras and lenses in the 50s. He then got into importing English stereo equipment. So I grew up with sound and image. I probably got my first still camera when I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. I had a dark room when I was 9 or 10. So I grew up with it, and he had a lot of friends in the motion picture industry. My parents would go away for a couple of weeks, and they'd 16-millimeter prints would arrive. And I just watch a film every night, and this was before home video. And that's how I learned about films. And it's just something that I love, and it's my life, and I choose to spend time saving films.
Well, Robert Harris, thank you so much for talking to me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Nice chatting with you again, Nathan. Take care.